it's on there, go straight back to the fighters. So go and support them. Also, if
All
you're
right.
into betting, go to raisedbet.com. Use our promo code FIGHTBOOK with capital F and capital B. You'll get some good promos on there using our discount or our promo code. Also, to MMA TV, we are going to be live streaming a lot of their events on fightbookmma.com. We're the, believe, the only U.S. website that's working with them right now. So it's a huge
Also,
honor to be with them. And our boys over there at Chop Heads MMA, go and listen to them. Our boy Tommy D is there. He's doing a lot of our wrestling articles. If you want to hear anything about wrestling, pro wrestling, and some MMA, go to Chop Heads MMA. Awesome fellas out there. They show a lot of love to us, so we show a lot of love to them. Go to foxhoundfuel.com. Hit them up. Use our discount code. You'll get 20% off all your purchases. Discount code is in all caps, FBMMA. Go and support them because they have been busting their asses as well and sponsoring some fighters as well. So go and hook them up by purchasing some of their supplements. Their supplements are the bomb. I love it. I use it all the time. So yeah, it's really, really good. All righty, fellas, let's
Well,
do the
before we
quick
get to it, Rob, sorry to cut you off, but Rudy Lara, I think we've got some new designs.
Rudy.
MMA merch store. I don't know if everybody's seen it on my page, Mark, Rob on the Fight Book page. But yeah, Rudy Lara coming through with the new threads, especially the John Jones hot dog water special edition t-shirt.
Yeah, if you don't know about John Jones, he saved somebody on I believe 4th of July weekend in 2020, and it's been a running joke that we that he saved him with hot dog water. I don't remember even.
See if you could pull it up on the live stream there, Rudy, and our from the face.
I
Yeah,
can't
so
even
I was
remember why we started saying it was hot dog water. I think it's because he was at a hot dog eating contest. That's right, wasn't it?
something like that, man.
Well, either way, he saved the day, and we're doing it in honor of the day he saved the man's life with motherfucking hot dog water.
Yeah, with wiener water.
There you go. Get your limited edition Johnny Bones hot dog water shirt. Comes in several colors. My favorite is the white. Yeah, but it's pretty cool. Yeah, we also got a couple of other cool designs. This Fight Book MMA Ronin shirt, the Demon. This one is sick. And the Alien edition, but these are cool designs, man. And it's not a bad price for them.
And soon to come, the Luchador mask edition with Roberto Villa actually in the Luchador mask, and it will be his face. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, so I was finally able to add the Fight Book MMA merch store into the Fight Book MMA website. I did have an off-site website for now until I was able to get everything integrated into our website. So I did away with that merch off-site website. That website no longer exists. So everything now is straight up at the Fight Book MMA website. So our merch store is there. Everything will be, you know, it'll tell you if it's in stock or not. So it's a pretty legit store that we have now. So the new designs that Rudy just showed y'all, it's fucking dope. So go to fightbookmma.com, click the merch tab, and it'll take you to our store. And anything that y'all purchase, it's going to go straight to the website, straight to the show, straight to the fighters that we support and sponsor. So yeah. Thanks, Rudy, for hooking us up with those new designs because they're pretty fucking badass.
Yeah, man. They're cool, man. I was just kind of bored and wanted to make something that's popped, man. Those things pop pretty badass.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Also, tonight, we have an awesome guest that's going to be jumping on here in just a minute. His name is Joey Angelo, or Angelo. However he wants to say it. I don't know how he pronounces it, but I'm going to say it that way. He is a bare knuckle fighter. He will be fighting for BYB Extreme Bare Knuckle Fighting Promotion, owned by the one, the only Data 5000. He will be fighting at the BYB 10 Biloxi Brawl. He will be taking on, if my computer can hurry the fuck up,
Brandon.
He's going to take Brandon Johnson.
Let's go, yeah, Brandon.
So, so yeah. So before we get started with our guests, let me do the quick rundown of the upcoming events. Starting tonight, Fight Book MMA is in the house covering Smash Global. Our buddy, our friend, is Alex Ramirez. He is covering, he is covering Smash Global, Smash X. So he's there actually right now as we speak, covering that event. So yeah, and y'all know who owns Smash Global, right?
Steve Orozco.
Steve Orozco, our buddy Steve Orozco. He's been on our show
several times. So
yes, sir. So we should get him back on the show to talk about the success of Smash Global and what he thought, you know, with everything that went on with it. And yeah, so he's pretty excited that Fight Book MMA is going to be there covering the event. We're pretty much the only media there, so that's a huge privilege because it is a big deal. It's a red carpet event, so only invited high rollers are invited there, so it's pretty badass.
We got A-Rod covering for us out there.
Yeah, yep. Let's see, May 20th, ONE Championship 157. That's happening. Also, Eagle FC 47. And our friends at Combate Global, they're having their event, Combate Global 37. Also, on the 21st, your boy right here is going to be covering an MMA event this Saturday, a local promotion, Fight World MMA 23. I will be doing the live results on the website. So to everybody that's not going to be able to show up at the gym, then just go to the website and you'll be able to catch who wins and who loses. Also, UFC Fight Night 206, Holm versus Vieira, the 21st. The next four are going to be live on Fight TV, which you can find at fightbookmma.com. Grapple Fist 12, Global Titans Fight Series, Shamrock FC 338, the Dynasty Combat Sports Spring Brawl 2022. In boxing, on the 20th, Thunderdome 38, that's also going to be live on Fight. And in Plant City, Florida, Feng Long Ming versus John Pasquale on the 21st in Las Vegas, live on ESPN Plus. Janibek Alamankali versus Danny Dingham. They're going to be fighting for the vacant WBO interim middleweight world title. So that's going to be pretty good. In Phoenix, Arizona, on the 21st as well, it's going to be live on Showtime, another title fight. David Benavides versus David Lemieux. That's going to be a badass fight right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be for the vacant WBC interim super middleweight title.
An interim?
Interim.
Interim. They have a vacant interim title? Are you kidding me? Why would it? Why the hell would they have an interim title as a vacant? Why would it be vacant if it's interim? Why can't they just have? Oh my God.
That's boxing for you, bro. That is.
I can't. This is why I took so many years off boxing, is because of that crap.
Also in London, live on the Zone, a title fight: Chantel Cameron versus Victoria Noelle Bustos. Ooh. They're fighting for Cameron's WBC and IBF Women's Junior Welterweight titles. And in Ghana, Tevin Farmer versus Mickey Bay, and in San Antonio, Texas, Andrew Tabiti versus Shamarian Snyder.
Okay.
So if y'all into boxing and MMA and all the above, you got a lot to watch. Mm-hmm. And David, lots what do we say?
And yeah, and if you're not watching every single fight, every event that Rob listed, every round, every minute, tweeting about it, making memes, being a Mr. Funny Guy, mm-hmm. you're not quite the combat sports enthusiast.
Mr. Funny Guy.
Yeah, you're not a real fight fan. And if you're not doing every Fuck It Friday challenge from Dana White, you're definitely not a true fight fan.
Yeah, that's we didn't make up these rules. It's just it is what it is. So
hey, yeah. One thing I saw on our site, man, that kind of piqued my interest was something called Ice Wars. It's Fight in Hockey Enforcers USA is ready to bring a new kind of action to combat sports. Ice Wars is letting hockey stars test their skills as all-out fighters. It's supposedly going to be MMA on the ring, bro. I'm surprised our Canadian friend here isn't talking about it because that sounds exciting.
I'm just learning about this now, Rudy, so thank you.
That happens on Saturday, May 21st.
Okay, I got to watch that shit.
It's $20, man, so...
Yeah, I forgot to put that on the list. I totally spaced that out. But that was because Fight TV actually sent me that information and they're like, hey, can you publish this on your website? I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll publish it.
Yeah.
And I totally forgot.
Fighting, I don't know. Maybe Mark might know who these people are. Diamond Hands, Daniel Arnsberry, Justin Bonesaw Sawyer, Cowboy Curtis Swanson, Chase Tippin, Corey Alley Train Allen, The Beast Jean-Francois LaFrance, Travis Levitsky, and special grudge matches, Keegan Paddywhack McGraw versus Justin Painmaker Smoke, Travis Loose Cannon Check versus Bo Jawbreaker Cornell. Those sound like
are these really their fucking names? Man. These sound like old school fucking hockey players from like the fucking 70s and 80s.
It does, man.
Like, are these guys like coming out of retirement for like that one last shot at glory? Like, come on, come on.
I want to check that out. I like these kind of, you know, sideshow carnival type of fucking.
Oh, of course.
I love it, bro.
Yeah.
And so I don't take anything away from carnival events. I mean, I love carnivals, bro. It's like one of my favorite things in the world. Some people see it as derogatory. It's not derogatory at all.
With the name Mark, they could bring Eric Lindros out of retirement be the BMF champion, right, of that league or that.
I don't know if he can even do anything right now. Actually, you know what? I'd bring Ty Domi out of retirement because he was a badass little fucking fighter. He could throw. He was a short little fucker. Like, he was a Sean Sherk, but he could throw. He was like a little Sean Sherk, but he could fucking take the big boys down.
I mean, this could be a good way to get new hockey fans.
Is that right?
I don't know shit.
You have hockey fans. It's just the commissioner doesn't want a Canadian team to win.
I think our guest is joining.
Nope. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, hockey events are fun, man. You know, when you go and drink and just have a good
time.
And
it's currently the playoffs.
I have no idea what's going on, but it's fun.
So we're just waiting. There we go. All right, y'all. We have our guest, badass fighter, Mr. Joey Angelo. Is it Joey Angelo or Joey Angelo?
It's Angelo with a Angelo? Hard G. Yeah.
Angelo. Right on. Well, Joey, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really do appreciate you. I know you just finished training right now and now you're here joining us on our podcast, so we really do appreciate the time that you're giving us, man.
I appreciate you guys having me. You guys can hear me okay, right?
Oh yeah,
we can hear you good.
Yeah, for sure, okay, man. Cool. For sure. Awesome. So Joey, you have been just recently, well, not recently, but you've been fighting bare knuckle for a minute. Your first bare knuckle fight was, we're really not going to get into this promotion, really, because, you know. but your very first bare knuckle fight was with that WBKFC or whatever the fuck it was called, but... that promotion to me and to us here at Fightbook MMA, that really has this really big sour taste in our mouth. So but
not just
you know
us,
it is what
I'd
it is
say more so the fighters, bro.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. did you ever get your paycheck for that promotion?
No, I didn't get my paycheck, and me and Julian got fight of the night, and we never got our cars either.
Wow.
Damn, bro. Yeah.
Wow.
They're treating you like you're Russian or something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Russians, yeah. More like Chechnyans, but yeah, it was so crazy, man.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we were the only reason why I say what I said is because we were the only media that was actually promoting that event. One of our guys was actually like got hired on as one of their writers, so it was just That's for another show, man.
Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It was rough.
Yeah, but that's why I say some people, I say I'm undefeated in bare knuckle because, yes, Julian beat me by split decision, but I never got paid for the fight, so it shouldn't count as a professional fight. So I'm undefeated.
I agree.
That's it.
That's a no contest. Professional fight unless you get paid.
Yeah, it was an exhibition. Yeah.
It was there. You go as an exhibition. I think everybody on that card, if you won or lost, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it was world's most dangerous exhibition.
That is true. That is true, man. And then your next fight, you fought for Data 5000's promotion and then to BKFC. Now you're back with Data's promotion again. Now that you've had a taste with both bare knuckle promotions with BKFC and with Data's, do you feel like one is like more comfortable to fight for, or what is your take on both of these promotions?
Yeah, everyone knows my issue with BKFC.
Mm-hmm. A lot of fighters.
Yeah, I think, you know what really means a lot to me is the fighter quality over quantity. So, like, for instance, I called Mike Vasquez today. He's one of the owners and guys that run BYB. And I had a couple questions for him regarding, like, travel and whatnot. With other promotions, I couldn't just call the owner and be like, hey, man, like, they really treat their fighters well, and they put that personal touch on it because they truly – they care about the fighters. And that goes such – that's such a long way with me.
Yeah, man, it's – I think that's why a lot of fighters go with him or they go with other promotions, you know, even if they're not signed with, like, the UFC or Bellator, you know, or these other big mainstream promotions, and they fight for these other – you know, regional promotions, but they stay with them just for that fact because they take care of their fighters, you know?
Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of these promotions will sign these guys that have no fights, or they'll sign these guys that are washed up MMA fighters and give them $500,000 when you got guys like me and everyone else that are young, they're fresh, we're in our prime, and we're getting pennies on the dollar. Say what BKFC does, they don't invest in their up-and-coming fighters, you know, where BYB, they put money into the guys like me, and they put money into guys that are, you know, all the guys like me that are up-and-coming because they're smart, that, you know, they're going to get their return on their investment. So that's that makes me feel good as well, you know.
That's good, man. I think it's a smart choice to stick with BYB and not, I don't know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's your decision to go back to fight for BKFC. But I think that's what, like, a lot of people, you know, a lot of my media friends, they always tell me that, you know, BKFC, they just cater to, you know, the Paige Van Zandt and whoever else is fighting for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like Chad Mendez fought a reggaeton singer or something like that.
Exactly.
I mean, and that guy was tough. But I'm like, man, this Chad over here is saying that he's getting paid more, like, more in one fight than all his fights combined. I'm like, I don't know where the owners of BKFC get this money, but it wasn't there when I was trying to ask for it.
So. I don't believe Chad's telling the truth about that.
No, either. No, not at all.
Yeah, I think guys tend to embellish a little bit, but regardless, listen, get your money, right? You're a fighter. Fighting is no longer, remember the whole saying, fighting's a poor man's sport. I don't think it's like that anymore, you know? So I don't hate against these guys that are getting the money. Go get your money. You know, we're all taking the same damage. We're just getting paid a little differently, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I just feel that you fighting for BYB, you're going to get more taken care of because, like you said, you know, he does take care of his fighters. He does care for them. He does want to expose the up-and-comers and give them that chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's a great business. It's a great business model on their part. They're being smart, and some investments might not pay off. You know, like Jomi, right? I don't know, Escobar's a kid. They threw everything into him, and then he just leaves. He goes and sits at the cool table. But mark my words, I think he'll be back to BYB. You know, they love him over there. They said go test the waters, but some investments might not work out. I value loyalty. 100%. Mm-hmm. I would actually take a little less money for double the loyalty, you know, because, right, that's that, and a lot of fighters would, So that's another thing that, you know, I'll shed blood and I'll break bones for a little less money. As long as you treat me like family, that's all that matters.
Yeah, man. That's freaking awesome.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And then the opponent, Brandon Johnson, how did it come about? Were you offered other opponents, or was this the guy you wanted? He wanted you, or how did that come about?
Yeah. So it's been, as you guys know, I haven't fought in 2.5 years. So, but I've been staying in shape. I was getting ready for Dakota Cochran, but COVID hit. I was getting ready. I was trying to call out Hector Lombard, but he ran away. So when they couldn't get me a fight within my duration, I asked to be released. Went back to BYB. I was supposed to fight Isaac Doolittle for the title. I was supposed to fight a couple other guys, but they said no. Isaac was the only one that accepted, but
yes.
he technically was still under contract with BKFC. So Feldman basically put the kibosh on that. So I was going to fight Jomi, but Jomi didn't want to fight me. So they said, Jomi, you either have to fight Joey or you have to relinquish your title. So he gave up his title and went, you know, like I said, to the cool kids table. No one would fight me. I was getting so frustrated. Even my wife was like, you've been in a 2.5 year training camp. Like, stop fighting, spend time with me and the kids. So Brandon, man, I've been hit. Dude, that guy's awesome. I love that dude. Like, this is going to be an exciting fight because I'm fighting a friend of mine. He's got a good heart. He's a God-fearing man. He's on a 2-fight win streak right now. He beat Ulysses, I don't know if that guy's last name, in an MMA fight, and then he just beat some guy in BKFC.
Yeah, Ulysses Diaz.
Diaz, that's what it is. Yeah, I'm telling you this, man. When I tell guys who I'm fighting, you're like, what? He's 42, 43. I'm like, dude, you don't understand. Brandon's dangerous. First of all, you don't look over anyone. He's dangerous. He's got a lot of experience, and he's down to fight scrap. And in that small triangle, dude, I don't know if you guys have been in there, like to walk around and have been to the shows. It's small. It's very small. It's definitely confrontational. So I got to be careful.
So speaking of the Trigon, right? That's what it's called.
Trigon, yeah.
Trigon, there you go. The Trigon. What like? How is it? Like, explain to us and to everybody that's listening or watching, like, explain to us that feeling of being in that type of enclosed area compared to, you know, the bout circle that BKFC has.
Yeah. Only way I could say it is go into your bathroom and shut the door and then fight somebody. assuming you have a small bathroom. No.
I do.
When I fought in there, I fought a guy named Joe Gillian, and I knew he was going to come straight forward. And if you watch the fight, I think the fight lasted like 50 seconds, but he was pressuring me. And I do this thing where, I don't know if you guys are familiar with like Vladimir Klitschko, how he kind of, it's called snake charming. Mm-hmm. He kind of puts his arm out, right? And then fire, you know, he's an orthodox fighter. But so I was doing that, and then boom, I was on the cage already. I was like, shit, the fight. I'm like, damn, this is crazy. I'm right here. So I'm a counter fighter. I let people come in, even if I'm shorter than them. People try to, you know, come after me because I move lateral really well. So they just try and cut me off, and I strike with that left hand. But it's like, I think in a normal octagon, it was like 1, 2, 3.5 steps into the cage. It's literally like 1.5 and you're to the cage. So you have to really be careful. You can't, like, it's really bad for my fight style, but I make it work. And the other thing is the skinny corner on the top of the triangle.
Yeah.
Dude. And they call that the third man in the ring for a reason, because you in there, the only way you're going to get out is really, really, really good, like Tyson Fury head movement, or you're just going to hug your opponent and hope he spins you around. It sucks, but I love it. That's it. It's awesome.
Well, one day we're all going to have to check that out, man, because it sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely. I feel like everyone should fight in something like this. Closest thing to fighting in a phone booth, I think.
Hey, there is such thing as a phone booth promotion.
Yeah, I did see that. That was nuts, and they were messing each other up.
Yeah, there's even a car jitsu promotion. Car-jitsu. They do jujitsu in a car.
I've done that too in high school a couple of times.
Yeah, and then we just before you jumped on, Rudy was talking about this Ice Wars.
Oh yeah, something called Ice Wars. It's an 8-man hockey tournament. Well, not hockey/MMA. It's a bunch of hockey dudes fighting MMA on the ice.
That's amazing. Hockey, and hockey is my favorite. If you know anything about me, hockey is my absolute favorite sport. Like, I like it better than fighting. So that sounds cool. But fighting on the ice is way different.
Yeah. I don't know how they're going to do that. I don't even know if that's going to happen, but apparently it's happening on Saturday.
Yeah, it'll happen, I promise.
Mm-hmm. Y'all got anything for Joey?
Yeah, Joey, I wanted to ask you, way back in the day, and I followed this promotion closely. A lot of guys came up through it, just like yourself, but I'm looking at your very first MMA fight, RFA 4, Tyson Griffin Escudero. You were supposed to fight Gregor Gillespie, I believe, right? Fight got canceled. Yeah. What do you remember about that? Those days, the RFA days, especially that card. I mean, I think Sergio Pettis on the card. Like, there's just a lot of great names, including yourself. And I think I believe you kicked the card off, right? First fight of the night.
I was I? I think Jerry Shapiro was the first fight. I might have been first. It was so long ago, dude. That fight was rough, man. Because I was supposed to fight Gregor Gillespie, at 170, and he trains at Longo. I think it was at Longo Weidman back home in New York, and he broke his arm in training. So it was here in Vegas, and I already sold a bunch of tickets and like, hey man, your opponent broke his arm, so the fight's off. I was like, well, that sucks. And he goes, well, we have a guy that's a 45er who just fought in California, but he won't go meet you unless you're at 55. And I was like, dude, I never weighed 155 in my life. So Kevin Randleman was like, nope, we're taking the fight. So my head coach at the time was Sean Tompkins and Kevin Randleman. If you see those pictures of me at 155, dude, my mom saw me and cried. It's like, it was bad. Like, it was, so I'm surprised. It was bad. I lost the fight. I think I lost by split or unanimous decision. I was just gassed. I had nothing left of me. I think after the fight, we did a urinalysis. I had protein breakdown in my kidneys. It was just so bad.
Oh, man.
And it was but Jordan, the guy I fought, was a tough dude. I wanted to fight. And my crazy coach at the time, Kevin Randleman, God bless his soul, he was just like, nope, we've trained way too hard. I don't care if we have to cut off a limb. You're making 55. So I was like, all right, awesome. We'll do it.
Because looking back on that card, I mean, just the names, like I said, Sergio Pettis, Dakota Cochran, mm-hmm. James Krause, Lance Palmer, Chidi Njokuani on that card.
Dude, Steve Mako, Fredson Pajau, all those guys, man, that was like a little legendary card. And it was an honor to be a part of it. But yeah, man, it's weird. I have this weird thing where, so my first MMA fight I lost, and I'm on a 6-fight win streak. My first bare knuckle card fight I lost. Now I plan on going on a very big win streak. I think every time I get into something new, I'm a little bit more timid than I should be. Except for Sando. I don't know if you saw that fight where I had to fight two guys at once in Virginia.
No.
Dude. So I can't find any video on it. I have awesome pictures, but Chris Barnett, the guy that fights for the UFC, the heavyweight, he was our main event. Quick story time, my bad, guys.
Go for it.
They my trainer at the time was like, hey man, do you want to fight in this weird Sambo blood sport type ring? It's in Virginia Tech. And I said, sure. So I'm thinking, like, I'm fighting you, and then if I knock you out, I fight like old school Grand Prix pride style. Mm-hmm. Nah. I had to fight two guys at once and it sucked. I won. I wound up knocking them both out. But I'll send you pictures on Facebook.
So yeah.
Wild. It awesome. Was wild. There was one part of the fight where I was just sick of getting beat up and I just hit myself and I was like, let's go. I walked out and it was pretty wild. But
we gotta
I won
find
that
video
one.
Of that shit.
Yeah, we gotta find video of that stuff. Yeah.
If you go on YouTube and type in Sando, Sando, I think you'll see Chris Barnett's on there. He actually wound up winning and then twerking upside down on his head. It was pretty funny.
Oh my god. Chris Barnett, dude, we've been trying to get him on the show. But you know, things happen with training camps and you know and all that. But that man, I've been following him since Ryzen. And he is just a character, man. That guy is
he's an athlete.
There is he is.
Yeah, he's an athlete, but
you back in 2016 you fought for my buddy or our buddy's his promotion, Steve Orozco, for Smash Global
tonight, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he does.
He's got an event tonight. Actually, one of our crew is out there covering that event. Tell us about that experience, man, because I know Steve, he puts on a classy event.
Yeah, it was that was another fight that we had a hard time getting opponents for. And then Steve, like, dude, my opponent, I think his name was Anthony Delmedico, just didn't show up. And Steve was like, no, you're fighting. We're getting you a fight. And they called this kid Leon Klee. And he showed up at weigh-ins and we put a good show on. But the fact that, like I said, Steve could have been like, nah, like, you know, I'll pay you whatever. Or I could have not got paid, you know, depending on how the contracts were structured. He took care of me, got me an opponent. I won. And dude, the events he puts on were like, dude, it's like black tie gala. I met Tito Ortiz there, and I didn't realize how big Tito Ortiz's head was. So I got to see that. That was huge, bro. Well, it's an experience, bro. That was awesome. But he puts on a great show. You know, he's an athlete himself, so it's good to see these promoters who I don't know if he's fought before, but he definitely looks like he's fought before.
Yeah, he's fought before.
So they have a different respect for the fighters. Like, so I don't know. Steve is awesome, man. I would definitely fight. When I go back to MMA, I might be on slightly a bigger platform, but if he definitely called me to fight, I'd love to fight for him. The guy's awesome.
Yeah, man. Steve, we've had him a bunch of times on our show, and I talk to him almost every day just because he's a buddy of ours. So yeah, Steve, he puts on some awesome, awesome events, man. And the red carpet experience, you know, you got all these celebrities, you got all these high rollers that are there. The inductees that he does, it's just amazing. And when I saw you fought on one of his cards, I was like, man, I got to ask him, you know, how is it the experience, you know, fighting in such a high end event?
It was cool, man. And it was a good cause. It was to knock out bullying. And me, I was severely bullied as a kid. So that was a good cause to fight for, you know, and I don't know, man, just everything was great. And then my favorite referee, Mike Beltran, got to ref my fight. It was awesome. So I have nothing bad to say about Steve Orozco's promotion. He was amazing. And
wasn't the ring announcer Carlos Kramer on that one?
Was it Kramer? I don't know, man. I was too starstruck by Beltran's beard. I don't know, man.
Yeah, Beltran was awesome. Was a ref.
Yeah, it was.
This event that he's holding tonight, 250 guests, the tickets are $1,000 a piece, so I'm pretty sure it's going to be a sellout.
Shit. Yeah,
it's worth it. Is it at the Taglione complex again on Vine right there? Dude, that place was that. Dude, I wanted to put a suit on and go out after the fight. That place is awesome. Yeah, the food looked good too. So it was like I said, I love that promotion. And that's something different. Yeah. You don't really see that too often in the States. That's a European thing.
Right.
Like K1 in France. And so that's the fact that he's bringing that type of swankiness and those eyes to the sport is awesome. You can class it up a little bit, you know?
Yeah, when he's been on our show, he's talked about it, you know, it's kind of like that feeling people would get when watching the Rocky movie, seeing the celebrities in the crowd and whatnot.
Yeah,
man. It's pretty cool, man. I want to go to one. I definitely want to go to one.
Dude, it's definitely an experience. You should definitely go to one, man. It was awesome. So if you can't fight in one, go to one.
And Joey, too, also, besides the two title fights on this card that you're on, you're fighting 3 5-minute rounds. Cause I think the title fights are 7 rounds, 3 minutes apiece, right?
Yep. Yeah. It's going to be that's another thing. We were actually just talking about that last night at the gym, and I don't want to be in there for 15 minutes. I'm not going to look for the knockout. It'll present itself, like my coach Sean Tompkins always said. But Brandon's tough, man. And I don't know if you guys have seen Brandon fight. That dude he bites forward and bites down, just comes forward. So I think it's a good style for me, but the cage is just not a good style for me, which I'm going to make it work. You know, if I beat Brandon, cause I got to think positive. There's a title fight on the horizon, man. It's gotta be, you know, cause I was supposed to get one, then I didn't. This is at a catch weight too, at 95, I think it is. So, when I go back to home to 85, hopefully I'll get a nice little title fight out of it.
Yeah. And you're also fighting on a card with a friend of the show, Tony Lopez, man. That guy just totally, he was fighting almost every week for, you know, pre-COVID time or so, but just a legend fighting for the title, man. So just you on the card and him, because I know the placement right now, I'm looking at Tapology, but you know which fight you are of the night has you fourth from the top. I think it's the main card. You're kicking off the main card, right?
Oh, am I really? That'd be awesome. Yeah, I don't know where I'm at on the card. I just know you know, I thought it was a prelim. I thought it was going to be like the women's bare knuckle, because there's some badass women fights on there. Miranda Barber and I've got the chick's name with the red hair. But yeah, dude, Tony Lopez, that dude is a legend. And
yeah,
I don't know, that guy's a legend. I think I'm the second heaviest fight on the card. So God forbid if something happened to Jordan Mitchell, bro, I would love to fight Tony Lopez just to say I fought Tony. I would love to get punched in the face by that guy. Like, you know what I mean? and then have him sign it afterwards. You know, it's that dude is just you could tell he loves fighting, and age means nothing to him, which is amazing.
Yeah, if I were ever gonna make a movie with an Aztec warrior, he would be the perfect person to cast it.
Absolutely. That guy looks
scary, but he's like the nicest dude in the world.
That guy looks like his face was forged by other people's hands and scar tissue. It's awesome.
I seen Tony fight live here in Albuquerque. It was a bloodbath, bro. Me and David were there.
Oh, I remember that fight, dude.
Christ.
And the cut was on his leg. That's how
His cut was on his shin. It was,
bro. Was it bare knuckle?
No, MMA.
MMA, okay. Yeah, dude, that guy doesn't know how to fight boring. He just comes forward and... Dude, that's a true warrior right there. You know, live by the sword, die by the sword. But yeah, I'm a huge fan of I'm gonna like geek out when I see him. You know, what I mean, this would be fun because I'm still a fan of the sport. I'm a fan first, so when I see these guys, I'm like for instance, when I fought for that first promotion we don't talk about, I met like Johnny Hendricks and who else was it? I'm a big fan of Lieben.
Yeah, Chris Lieben, he's cool, man.
Yeah, I chased down Baroni because I was in a. Gonna fucking kill that guy, and he ran away from me like a little.
I think everybody wants to likes Phil. Fucking...
No one likes Phil.
I know. And then, he was weird. But Boss Rutten was awesome. So I'm just a fan of the sport. I'm just so happy and blessed to be able to do what I do every day, and I just hope to inspire people, you know, to get out there and do something, you know, chase down that dream and submit it till you get it, you know.
Yeah, man. Well, that's freaking awesome, bro, that you're, you know, back with the BYB promotion. Just like you said, you know, they take care of you and they take care of their fighters. And we can't wait to watch this fight, man. I know we're going to be glued to the TV, the phone, the laptop, wherever we're going to be able to stream this and watch it. I mean, it's going to be pretty badass, man. It's been a while since I've seen a BYB event. So just to see, you know, our friends here, Joey, you're being on there and kicking some ass, man. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun, man. I'm going to relish in the moment. I'm going to enjoy every time I get hit, every time I hit, because you don't know when, like, I didn't think I was going to be on a 2-year hiatus, right? So I'm just going to relish it. I'm going to walk out slow. I'm just going to relish in the moment, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, man.
So I want to ask a question. Sorry, Roberto. Is there anyone in MMA that you would like to see transition to bare knuckle and face?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a good question, man. That's who would I love to... And, you know, when I pick a fighter to fight, I don't pick guys I know I can beat. Like, I want a war. That's such a good question. Damn, you stumped me on that one.
John Jones.
No, I like my eyes. I don't want to get poked. You know who I would like to fight? And you guys are going to think I'm nuts. And he trains right up the block. Sean Strickland. I would love to fight.
Oh, Tarzan.
Oh, shit.
Tarzan. You know what? I just tweeted about him. Because Sean wanted me, John Gunderson hit me up to spar Sean for... I want to say he was getting ready for Rockhold and something happened, whatever. I wasn't able to spar. I was actually getting ready to fight for BYB last April. And I was like, hey, man, I'm fighting next week. He's like, nah, don't spar with me. I don't spar. Like, nice, right? But to watch that dude just talk shit and that's the fight I want to get drawn out of me. So I would love to fight Sean Strickland in a bare knuckle fight. And he would oblige. He would actually, like, knowing him, he'd probably give me a weapon. He'd probably give me a weapon to fight him.
Bro, only a man's man wants to fight Sean Strickland. I want to fight Sean Strickland. I don't give a fuck if he hit my ass.
Yeah.
I fight his ass. He's crazy, bro.
he's a nut job, but he's the perfect guy. Like, when guys stand like that, toe-to-toe, And like when I fought Julian and Julian kept backing up, I was like, no.
Yeah.
And I did the Max Holloway point down. And he was just like, no. And I was like, oh, I broke you mentally. Now I want you more. That's the fight that like Sean would bring out in me. Damn, I kind of want to go spar Sean Strickland now. I'll do it after that. But I gotta take advantage of what Vegas offers, you know. But that's one guy that I would like to do. Not because he's such a great, and Sean's got good boxing, but he, just the mental aspect of it. I wouldn't be able to back up.
That'd be a fun fight to watch.
That'd be an amazing fight. So, but first I got to get through Brandon, and then Brandon's not, he's not a, you know, he's not an easy fight by any means. So I got to go out there and do what I have to do and hopefully put on a show, for you guys and the crowd and BYB will bring me back for bigger and better things.
Oh yeah, man. Well, if you win, you better call him out.
Yes, I will. Yeah. But the thing is, it's easy for you to say. Sean lives like 20 minutes away from me.
He'll be like, all right, motherfucker, I'm on my way.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm on the way.
He's just going to knock on my door. Come on, Sean.
You want this?
Who do you think talks more shit, him or Nick Diaz?
Who talks more shit? You know what the thing is? Nick Diaz is a straight hood, but Sean just says a lot of stuff he says is correct, but just the way he says it is not correct. His delivery is all wrong, but... No, I would fight Sean just to say, yeah, I fought Sean Strickland, not to talk any shit, just to be like, nah, I went toe-to-toe with the crazy Tarzan guy, you know?
So maybe he's the American Michael Bisping.
Dude, the moment my buddy Chris Curtis, because Chris Curtis cornered me for my BYB fight, and Chris was like, when I was telling Chris, oh, yeah, Sean hit me up to spar, Chris goes, don't spar Sean, just don't do it. And that made me want to do it, like, you know what I mean? It's like a little kid in the candy shop. So that made me want to do it more.
He is indeed in a title contention. I think he's slated to fight Alex Pereira, the guy that did finish Izzy Adesanya. So your call out is no joke. He is one of the top dudes, and I respect that, man. Because you bring a dog fight. So yeah, but we are definitely looking forward to seeing you get back in there a week out. You're making the time for sitting ringside at Fightbook MMA. So we're all looking forward to that card. Like Rob said, we'll all be checking it out. Everybody be supporting you over here at Fightbook, man.
I appreciate the support and all the love from you guys, man. It means the world to me. And, you know, I'm excited to get this fight over with. It's my biggest weight cut I've ever done, even bigger than the 55. So I'm ready to eat, and I'm ready for Italian food. And my wife, my wife is from Guatemala. So when her mom comes in town, she makes the salpicón, all that stuff. So I just want to eat. I got to earn my food right now. So I'm excited.
Hey, soon enough, man. Soon enough. Right on, man. Well, thanks again, brother, for jumping on the show with us tonight, man, and shoot the shit with you. It's always awesome to be able to talk with you and, you know, with a lot of the other fighters that we have on the show. So we really do appreciate you giving us that time, man.
Absolutely, man. And we appreciate the platform you give us, man, because no one really know who we are without you guys, the media. So, you know, we love you guys. And I seriously, thank you so much for everything you guys do. I know it takes a lot of hard work and editing and time in the office to do what you guys do. So we appreciate it.
Right on, man. Well, like we do with all our guests, man, if you have anybody you want to shout out, give thanks to, go for it, bro.
Yeah, well, my first shout out to you guys, you know, putting the time and effort and everything. You know, my head coach, Luis Hernandez, over at Uprising, the guy's been working with me, changing my style, introduced me to Mexican style boxing. So you're going to see that next Saturday. And then, you know, Cypress, CBD, those guys helped me out with all my inflammation. My beautiful wife, Heidi, and my children, they're my inspiration behind everything I do, my driving force. So that's pretty much it, man. Tune in. Was it BYB10?
Yeah,
Saturday, BYB10. May 28th. And there will be carnage. There will be blood. There will be just knockouts. If you like conflict, if you like confrontation, if you like fighting, if you have a heartbeat and an average temperature of 98 degrees, watch this. You'll love it. You'll love it.
Awesome. Right on, man. Thanks again, brother. We will talk to you soon and get you back on the show for your next fight. And let's do this, bro. Get
that win. Thanks, guys. I'll see you guys right Saturday. On,
Joey Angelo.
Later. Right, thanks, guys. Bye.
Peace out.
Hell I
love that I stumped him at first with that question.
I didn't see that event it lasting as long as it has, man. Well, a lot of people didn't, you know.
No.
They saw the cage and the promoter, and they're just like, what? That's the dude who lost Akimbo. And yeah. Just a lot of people shit on it. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was weird, and I was like, I'll watch this. You know me, man. I'll watch anything. Mm-hmm.
Any combat sport, we'll try. Yeah, exactly. We'll watch it to give it a shot.
Yeah, and the events have been, they've been legit, man. Violence, and it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's different because you're in a different cage. It's, you know, it's a ring. It's like a boxing ring in a triangle. So, yeah.
And shout out to Mark for stumping him with that question, because
that was a good question, bro.
Sean
good
Strickland, job, and Sean Strickland, if you're out there listening, we'd love to have you on the show, man. I think it'd probably be super necessary. You jump on,
yeah.
So.
After that, yeah. I was going to ask him if he was going to chase Hector Lombard to Eagle FC now for that matchup.
Yeah.
That kind of pisses me off that Hector avoided that matchup. I'm like, come on, really, Hector? Come on, Hector.
Yeah. Dope matchup.
Right.
But I never got
them. Right on. So, yeah. So, next Saturday, BYB, we'll get in more into detail with this event next week on our show. But go and support our buddy there, Joey Angelo. Check him out. He's going to put in an exciting fight at the Trigon BYB on May 28th. So go get your tickets.
Mm-hmm. Get those tickets, folks.
Right on. Let's do our quick grade for UFC on ESPN 36. I'm going to give it a solid 7.
Yeah, I give it a 7, man. It was good.
I'll give it a 7.
David?
He said, be right back.
Okay.
He'll be back, I think.
He'll be back, yeah.
If not, then I'll just take over. I've been doing live smoke sessions on Instagram on my Stoner account, so I'm used to the camera now. I'm going to get better at camera stuff. Oh. Don't worry about me.
Yeah, I thought it was a great event, bro. Yeah. The way it started, just like I thought it would, Andre Petroski, first round submission over Nick Maximov.
That was, I screwed that fight up.
Tatsuro versus Taito versus Carlos Candelario. Hats off to Candelario, man, for hanging in there as long as he did. He should have been out in the first round. So Tyra has definitely a lot to work on. He looked really great, man, but he's got a lot to improve on. He was bigger, faster, stronger. It just kind of blew my mind that he couldn't take out Candelario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Just Condillari kept coming back, bro, like the fucking Terminator. And then Rob Schneider versus Angela Hill.
Fuck.
That was sandwich fight of the night for me. Mike Johnson, fucking second round KO. That was a nice one.
Dude, that came out of nowhere.
Early stoppage.
And then second sandwich fight of the night was Viviana Araujo versus Andrea Lee.
Yeah.
Oh, her corner, the shit that her corner said to her, though, during it was...
And then Nascimento pulling off of this upset to open up the main card against Jake Hadley. Manuel Torres knocking out Frank Camacho. That was awesome. Caitlin Chikagian, that was the third sandwich fight of the night.
At least she won. That was robbery.
Yeah, Davey Grant.
Sorry.
Ryan Spann. I told you guys, Ryan Spann, to watch out. He was... You know, a lot of people were just overlooking this guy, and I had a feeling he was going to win, and he did win. First round submission. And Jan Blachowicz, I told everybody that one, too, and he fucking won. Everybody was saying
Blachowicz
was
going to win.
Yeah,
but the ending was kind of wonky, though. That's a wonky ending, though, with the injuries.
It doesn't matter.
But he was winning that fight, I think, anyways.
It doesn't matter. Bottom line is he won.
Yeah, you're right, Rudy. You're right.
And he was blind in one eye, too, so it was one-eyed Blachowicz.
A win is a win.
Your win is a win. That's right.
So overall, you're right. I mean, it was a 7, man. It probably could have been a lot better had those sandwich fights of the nights
been a little bit more active and more.
It could have probably been an 8.
Mm-hmm.
But if you did bet the house on Andre Petroski, just like Rudy and I said, that he would take out Nick Maximov that quick. I didn't see it that happen fast, but yeah, man. I don't know.
Man, we told you.
Yeah.
I bet. Luis Smolka, bro. Like, come on, dude.
Dude, I could have won. I could have hit big had I not bet on Candelario. That's the only one that I screwed up on. I would have had a perfect and probably like $100,000.
dude. Almost.
Almost, man.
Almost. Almost.
Right. Safe to say, we did call it last week that Frank Camacho in a loss is headed out. Possible ELC. I could easily see Angela Hill being cut too, even though he's like a ESPN, whatever, got the job with the UFC there.
Yeah, Smoker. Alan Patrick is another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see Ali getting cut because of her corner saying that shit too. She might get punished just for that because of what her corner said. You know what I mean? Because it was pretty bad.
Brazilians are fucking cheaters.
You know, they're dirty. They're dirty Brazilians and shit.
Dirty Brazilians?
Cheating dirty Brazilians. That's pretty ignorant to say.
Nah, not
plus,
really.
It doesn't help that she was married to a Nazi, so.
He's had some controversial shit.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
That's I could see her getting in shit
for
this
bro,
one.
But you can't.
You never know with Uncle Dana.
You can't fucking hold her accountable for marrying a shit.
Well, I know that, but you never know with Uncle Dana, right? I'm just saying, you never know what he's gonna do or what they're gonna do. The company.
I've heard worse, bro. People blowing that.
Oh, of course. So have I.
People blowing out of proportion, especially when they bring it up. It's dumb, bro. Like, who cares, man? Dirty Brazilians, dirty Mexicans. I'm freaking Hispanic. It doesn't matter, bro. Words are words, especially in the heat of battle, man.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything wrong with it, bro. I'm just like whatever.
Dana said it's not the I'm Mr. Nice sport or you're in the cage, you go in there, you're two warriors, you battle it out until they stop you. So I agree there. But yeah, people are way too offended. But yeah, in the heat of the battle, I agree. But was some controversial shit, and you know, of course, there's
it's just because of her background with her act. That's why.
But again, dude, you're kind of judging her for.
No, I'm not saying husband. I'm not blaming her for it. Yeah. I love Andrea Lee. Are you kidding me? Fuck that.
Then don't
her ex-husband, I don't like
on her dirtbag Nazi husband.
Ex-husband.
But unfortunately, though, there was a fighter that earned a lifetime contract to the UFC and a win. It was disappointing. Michael Johnson, who will officially fight in the UFC forever and will never be cut.
It's just in. Michael Johnson will be joining us live here in the next 5 minutes. David's favorite fighter.
Nasty knockout, though. I mean, I thought the speed went away a little bit, but he came into fight. He was in shape, and that's what Michael Johnson does with that hand speed. And Alan Patrick, cutter.
Yep, it's Coitons for you.
Coitons.
Hopefully right on. Everybody kicking dirt on Jan Błachowicz. I think they need to stop with that. I think the guy's still got some Polish power in him. And I don't know who he draws next, man. Kind of the light heavyweight division has – he's pretty much the number one guy. So he's got to wait for Glover and Jurek Jaska to settle their deal, and I think he probably gets another crack at the belt.
Yeah, I think so too, man. That's the right call to make.
Yeah. Unless he fights John Jones, but yeah, we know he's not coming back.
John Jones!
We'll see.
That's another fight that never happened where I was in attendance. Jan called out John in Albuquerque. Thought it was going to happen. We haven't seen John since. So.
He just disappeared like a fart in the wind.
Right on, fellas. Well, what did you – we already gave our grade for that fight. What do you grade it, David?
With Michael Johnson earning the lifetime contract, I'm gonna give it a 5.56 range.
Damn.
That's all right. Us three gave it a 7. So
it's a
fair
7.
It was better than the pay-per-view event the week prior.
Easy.
Ryan Spahn, impressive. I thought Mandy Hibas got robbed. But yeah, seeing Nick Maximov get murdered right out the gate. I mean, there was some interesting. I mean, he was the biggest underdog on the card, man. What's his name? Petroski. And Rudy and I talked about it. If you bet on Petroski and bet the house, you're probably rich this week because, man, huge underdog against Maximov. Too much hype, but Maximov will be back and he'll probably face another killer. No doubt about it.
Right on. Well, fellas, we have UFC Fight Night, Holm versus Vieira. Let's go ahead and do what we always do and grade that fight poster. I don't know, man.
I
like it, too.
It's not the best.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a solid 6, man.
Yeah, six is fair, man. They kind of took the whole feathered look, kind of like the Eagle FC poster that we were saying was badass. I'm putting them both up right now. But you can see this one's a little more feathered.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, man, it's not bad, but it's not good. So six is fair for this poster. Oh, God, let me show you fucking what Dana White just posted.
Oh.
He posted
this shit
on his Facebook wall. And look at Holly Holm.
Oh, God.
Holly Holm,
bro. Is that what you posted in the group, that part?
Yeah.
Is that what you're showing right now? Oh, God.
Like, why would you do that? Why?
That looks bad, like a bad fucking.
You see the comments in that thread, man. It's on Dana White's page. Check it out. This is honestly one of the worst graphics I have ever seen. Holly's apparently 76 years old. Got them looking like they're fighting in the menopause division.
Wow.
Holm looks like Amy Schumer.
Oh, no.
Oh, Holly
no,
Holm looks like Wendy Bird from Ozark. Holy shit, she does.
Oh, my God. This is not. Oh, my goodness. This is great.
Holly is Darlene Schnell from Ozark now. Oh, shit. Holly the Undertaker Holm. She got fucking roasted. Thanks a lot, Dana White. What the fuck?
Of course, people are going to let loose comments on the Dana White post. Just about anything he can post, people are just going to grill it all, no matter what. But overall, it is it's an improvement to what we've seen in the past couple weeks. The UFC 274 poster was complete shit last week. But this one is definitely an improvement.
This comment looks like an ancient photo of Titanic survivors. Even got the headlights from the rescue boat in the background. Looking stupid.
Oh, my goodness, man.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Jesus Christ, guys.
I wonder if that makes Dana White laugh.
It's got to a little bit, right? It's got to make him laugh a little bit. If not, then he's got no sense of humor. Which he should have some if he looks in the mirror.
Calling out the poster designers. They're like, what the fuck is wrong with these designers? Dude, we've been saying it for a while now.
For like 9 months.
You've been saying it for like...
For over a year, you've been saying it.
Yeah, actually, it's been longer. And even before that, we would talk shit about him in the chat.
Well, quick shout out to our peeps that are listening, Richard Ibarra and Anthony Gomez. Thanks so much, guys. Anthony says, "Oh, not to worry, Bones will be back." We know he's going to be back.
Even if he's not back, he'll always live in our hearts forever.
There's never going to be a single show without us mentioning John Jones.
Oh, ever. Jesus Christ.
Sometimes it's early and often, but we'll get it in there, and we can't wait to see him fight, just like everybody else. So that's why we got it. Well, hopefully he stays in the headlines for all the good reasons. But the Stipe fight, cannot wait. That's the fight we've been wanting to see.
He's our favorite psychopath.
He's not going to make the fight. I guarantee he's going to get arrested before that fight. Watch.
No, he's not.
I'm calling it.
He's too busy eating.
Or he's going to pop. One of the two. He's going to either get arrested or pop for something else. I guarantee it.
No,
I just have this feeling.
He's gonna buy one of our John Bone Jones t-shirt from Fight
Book. The Johnny Bones hot dog water shirt.
You know what, bro? I'm gonna buy it and I'm gonna take it to Jackson's and wrap it and say this is for John Jones.
There you go.
You should.
What the fuck is this, dude?
Well, actually, you have to take it somewhere else because I don't think he's at Jackson's anymore.
Oh, right? That's right. Mm-hmm. He's at Acoma, isn't he?
I think he's at home.
At home. Well, I guess I don't know what to do then.
He's at home eating turkey legs.
But speaking of Jackson, we can make Holly Holm again chiseled in for a main event. I've heard a lot of people saying like how, why, kind of past the Holly Holm deal. But Robert and I, Albuquerque, we've been following Holly for her entire boxing career. She's always making history. In her pre-fight talks, she's talking about possibly going back to boxing. She's got a couple fights left on the contract. And a win here pretty much puts her in position to fight for the title again. And we know, in fact, she will get the shot in an impressive way.
Yeah, man. If she does, she's going to make more money, obviously, in boxing. I mean, that's where she started off. So if she does decide to not renew her UFC contract, you know, boxing is, people are going to welcome open doors for her.
And there's some good matches awaiting.
Yeah, man. She can fight for, you know, Premier, Top Rank. I mean, DAZN, ESPN, whoever. Whoever wants her, they'll get her and pick her up. So, yeah. But, yeah, man, like you said, we've been following Holly since her boxing and kickboxing career. And she deserves to be the main event, you know, on a fight night against a very tough opponent in Caitlin Vieira. This is going to be a good matchup. Very, very good matchup.
Oh, yeah.
She hasn't fought too many, like, really great grapplers and wrestlers in the division or at bantamweight, but I think Vieira is one of them. Striking, I think Holly's got the edge. She always does, but I don't know if it's going to be one of those fights where we just see, like, we don't see the Holly Holm we're used to seeing. I don't know if it's this fight, the next fight, but that's why I do, in fact, see her, like, going to boxing, whether it's one or two fights, even if she doesn't win this one. Maybe she fights one more time and then off to boxing, make some bucks, and kind of go. No one's ever done it. Holly's always making history, boxing to MMA to boxing. I can easily see that happen.
Yeah, I mean, Vieira, she's great on the ground, but she's got hands, bro. She showed it against she showed us those hands against her last opponent, Misha Tate. She beat the shit out of her, and Misha looked like fucking what Tito versus Frank Shamrock when Shamrock got bit by bees. Her face was fucked up. I was mad.
He forced her to flyweight. Yeah, so Misha will be fighting at flyweight soon.
Yep. So don't count this chick out to be able to stand and bang. But yeah, as far as striking, Holly definitely holds the edge.
Oh yeah, for sure. In the chat, Anthony says that this is a make or break for Holly. Keyword, capitalize.
Yep.
So yeah. For sure, she's got to capitalize on this fight, make it exciting, make it a war. She has to do this in order for her to get the next fight, do the same thing, and get that title shot.
Yeah, and she's had some problems too. She's had kidney problems leading up to the fight. I think that's why it was canceled her last bout. So there's some questions there for Holly Holm. We haven't seen her in a while, but great camp is always great game plan. Caitlin Vieira is definitely the girl right in front of her and necessary for her to fight at this point. So, yeah, man. And props to Holly, too. She's honestly getting inducted to the Boxing Hall of Fame.
She's one
of the females getting inducted. So, like I said, always history when it involves Holly Holm. And I could see either route, though, at this point. Win or lose, Holly does, in fact, you know, get a boxing opportunity. And those talks have probably – I've already came the way of Greg Jackson and Mike Winkley.
Yep. So that's who you got, Rudy, for this one?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going for Holly. I got Caitlin Vieira winning this.
No, I got home. I got home as well. I've got all my picks done.
Yeah. I'll go Holly home. I got to go Burke.
Hell yeah. Got to support our Burke fighters.
But from the top down of the card, Santiago Ponzinibbio against Michel Pereira, co-main event, super necessary fight. I think we actually called this matchup after Michel Pereira's last bout. I think Manchester called it out. But, oh, man, this fight definitely will deliver. Don't think there's any sandwiches necessary here. But Michel Pereira, by jumping front kick, worse than Tony Ferguson, gets KO'd, wins the fight.
I've got Pereira on my topology, but this is my draw of the night on the card.
Oh, man, a war.
I think it's going to be a three-round war, honestly. It's just going to go back and forth and just going to beat the hell out of each other.
Yeah, Rudy, who's the underdog on this one? What's the odds?
The underdog for this fight, Santiago Ponzinibbio, is a plus 110 underdog. Michael Pereira is a slight the slight favorite at minus 130. So it's neck and neck, man.
It's pretty close.
It's real close. The Holly Holm versus Caitlin Vieira, Holm was a minus 260 favorite.
Okay.
Vieira was a plus 200 underdog. So that one was pretty big. Big spread. But yeah, man, this fight, I don't like Pereira, dude. I've never liked that guy. He fucking annoys me. So... I hope he gets knocked the fuck out. I'm going for Ponzinibbio.
Wow.
I don't care if he loses.
I just don't like him.
No, I don't like him, bro. I don't like him. I've never liked that guy. I think he's an asshole.
Okay, that's fair.
I think he can.
You know what? That's your opinion.
Yeah, Pando Nibio, I think if it is a war, like Mark said, I think he could withstand a little bit more punishment than Pereira because he's been cracked before. He's been in some wars. And if it does become a dogfight, Pando Nibio can pull it out in a tough war or even a draw. But I'm going to pick Pereira. The guy could just throw anything at any given moment. Also, he's got great cardio. But if Pando Nibio can drain him out the first two rounds, make it a war, and I could easily see him winning a decision. But finishing Pereira, or Pando Nibio has been finished. Today, I'm not sure how many times he's been finished.
Yeah. It's going to be a good fight, man. It's going to be a fucking exciting fight. Yeah. I'm on the fence on who to pick out of these two guys, man. I don't know. Yeah. It's just one of those toss-ups for me, so I really don't know who to pick. I'm just going to say Ponzi Nibio. Yeah, say Ponzi Nibio. Ponzi Nibio winning this Ponzi scheme.
So we're 2-2. You and Rudy are with Ponzi, and me and Dave are with Pereira. All right.
Yep. But moving on to the main card, Chidi Njokuwani against Dusko Todorovic. And I think both these guys are on some winning streaks, so super necessary at 185. Rudy, what are the odds on this fight?
Chidi Njokuwani, minus 245 favorite. Dusko Todorovic, big ass head dude, plus 193 underdog. So people, Njokuwani's the betting favorite here, and I definitely see why.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
This was only a coin flip fight for me because, man, Dusko's been finished a couple times with strikes. Chidi's on a bit of a run. Matchmaking is somewhat good here. I mean, it has Chidi at 34, Dusko at 52, but both guys are on. I think, what do you got? Maki Pitolo is his last win, right, Dusko? And I think that guy's fighting on Eagle FC actually tomorrow too as well. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, but, Todorovic's last fight against was Maki Pitolo in December of last year.
Yeah, coin flip of a fight, 49-51, but I'm going to pick Chidi on this one.
Me too. I'm picking Chidi, man. This guy's he's on a 3-5 win streak. He won at LFA, the Contender Series, and in the UFC, right? His debut, he won. So
I think he fought in that same card that Joey Angelo fought, the one that you were talking about that you brought up.
Yeah.
He fought on that card, too.
On RFA?
Yeah.
Yeah, and his last fight, he beat Barry Alt. I didn't think he was going to beat Barry Alt, but he stomped him.
10-second knockout. Seconds,
16.
Yeah,
first round, crazy, bro. So yeah, this dude definitely has power in his hands. They don't call him Bang Bang for nothing. So Njokuwani, I got him winning this fight. Dusko could take a beating though. He's got a big ass fucking watermelon head. And I remember that fight that he fought against Rodriguez, the RoboCop, and that was just a slugfest, bro. They beat the shit out of each other, and that was a battle of whose head was bigger. But you know, both of them couldn't take on Tito Ortiz.
No, fuck no. Even Joey said that his head was huge.
His head is fucking huge, bro. I've held it. It's like 200 pounds.
What the fuck, Rudy?
But Joey, jump.
Moving on the main card, we usually go bottom to top, but this time around, it's top to bottom. Main card still, Pollyanna Viana against Tabitha Ricci, women's strawweight action.
I got Ricci by submission.
He's kind of undersized at this weight class. That's why I'm leaning towards Pollyanna, and I'm leaning towards Pollyanna for other reasons too as well.
Okay.
but it is indeed a battle of the Brazilians. Pollyanna Viana, I believe, trains Sanford MMA, or isn't she Florida-based fighter? Mm-hmm. So Colby Covington camp or so. But yeah, this fight is probably going to be pretty cracking matchup though. I like the matchup. Pollyanna Viana is still rising in the rankings. She's a top 20 material, getting through Tabitha Ricci, who's only lost once, puts her in the line for some big fights at 115. It's pretty slim at 115 these days. So
yeah, it is.
I'll pick Pollyanna on this matchup. By decision.
Yeah, same here, man. Pollyanna. This is going to be a good matchup, man, because I believe that they're going to be trying to get that top position since they're both, you know, good on the ground. So it's going to be a battle of jiu-jitsu. So we're going to see a good jiu-jitsu match fight. Mm-hmm. But like I said, or like, you know, like you said, David, Pollyanna's got the advantage being that she's the taller fighter.
Mm-hmm.
That always helps, especially with these jiu-jitsu peeps. So Pollyanna for this one, submission, I'm going to say early in the third round.
Okay.
Rudy, who do you got?
I got Pollyanna Viana, man. I think the size is a huge difference in this matchup. And, yeah.
Yeah, I think Reach, he's undersized. She probably could be Adam weight. So that's why I said Reach.
Yeah, bro, she's very undersized in this matchup, man. I mean, she's got a 4-inch.
Size don't mean shit.
Yeah, it does.
You've seen Hoyce. Come on, Hoyce back in the day. He took out some big guys, so that proves that, you know.
Yeah, but that was back then.
On, that, I know, I get it. Hey.
These fighters nowadays, bro, they've adapted and elevated, and they're more.
That's true. Well, I know. So, I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm not going to doubt Ricci, but if she loses and badly, then I'll eat my words next week.
Well, moving on to main card, this is a fight kicking off the main card. Guy who's been around, fought some of the toughest guys at 185, fucking fought a cheetah in Brazil. Had some tough battles, man. Eric Anders fighting Jun-Yong Park. Not familiar so much with Park. I do remember him competing recently, though, right? Didn't he take a loss to
Ion Turtle
Rodriguez or something?
He fought against RoboCop, bro, and he lost.
Yeah, okay. Been a while since he's been out a little bit on the shelf, but Eric Anders, man, that guy is always a tough out. Oh, man, it's not, like, I got to go with Anders, but he's a guy that I always pick, and then he gets fucked up. It's one of those guys. I don't know either guy. I think they're good to go as far as win or loss here. Nobody gets cut. I think this is a battle, man, low-key fucking battle. Eric Anders is tough to get out of there, and Park will bring the fight. So I'm going to go Eric Anders, though, and I'm going to regret it when my picks are fucking perfect up until this fight.
Well, Eric Anders is a plus 170 underdog in this one. Unbelievable. Jun-Yong Park is the minus 210 favorite. I'm putting money on Eric Anders, man.
Hell yeah.
Last same time here. Anders fought is when he got armbar. It was that nasty armbar from, I forget the guy that who it was.
Muniz.
Yeah, he armbars everybody. Yeah, that guy. Yeah. Nice. Okay.
And before that, Anders had fought Tyron Woodley's little brother, Stuart. Yeah, he fought him twice. He fought him in June 12th, and then before that, he had fought him again. He couldn't continue. They had that rematch, remember?
Yeah, it was a no contest. Yeah, because, I mean, shoot, man, this guy, Anders, has fought, like, Thiago Santos. He's fought, like, all the top people.
Jotko, Mearshard. Yeah, he's fought Khalil Roundtree, Elias Theodoro, Mearshard Santos, Machida. Yeah, he's fought a lot of motherfuckers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Probably put a stamp on him going to Eagle FC, though, low-key, if he does lose. This might be, like, his last fight on the contract we don't know about, so. He has Eagle FC written all over him.
Yeah, he does. He's going to be the next champ for Eagle FC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's go Iron Turtle, though. Let's go Iron Turtle.
The prelim card, we're now upon the prelims, but is there any fight that you guys are really looking forward to? Because, I mean, there is some.
There is one fight, because the one guy is on a five-fight win streak and is a huge favorite, the Porker Parter and the Jailton Almeida. Amada's on a five-fight win streak. Parker Porter, whatever his fucking name is, I don't give a shit. But I have him on my Tapology, but his opponent's on a five-fight win streak, and he's a huge favorite.
Why are you so freaking aggressive, dog?
I'm not. I was trying to glance at my notes. Yeah. That's all. I was just going to glance at my notes.
Glance at your notes.
Yeah, I took some notes for tonight.
Yeah, good.
Oh,
heavyweight. So who are you picking on that fight, Mark?
I have Porter, but, you know, it's going to be probably a lucky win if I get that win, because Almeida is on a five-fight win streak and a huge favorite, like a huge favorite on Tapology. That's what it says in brackets, a huge favorite for him. So that's a risky one for me, but I got Porter. I'm just going to go with Porter because, you know, he always puts on a good fight, so I got him.
Right on.
Yeah, Rob?
You know what, man? I really don't have anybody that I'm really going to want to pick for the prelims.
I think Omar Morales and Euros Medic is legit. That should be a little somewhat higher on the card, but I get they why they have the heavyweights just before the
main card. Yeah, that's going to be a good one too. But like I said, man, like really in the prelims, I'm not really. I mean, I think Vince Morales is probably going to take on Jonathan Martinez. I have a feeling Morales is going to win. That one probably going to be a low-key good fight on the prelim card.
I pick against Morales all the time. This time around, I am picking him. As tough as Jonathan Martinez is, too, he's tricky. Mm-hmm. And he's been super legit at 135. I think he could rise up in the rankings, and he's always going to fight some tough guys. I think out the gate, he's had some really tough matchups. So, but Morales, I will not pick against him this time around. He always fucks up my picks, too.
I'm looking forward to the Chase Hooper Felipe Colares fight. That'll be a fun fight, man.
Yeah, Hooper's. What is Chase Hooper? Isn't he like 6'1 at 145? He's like the biggest or the tallest featherweight or something like that. Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen Chase Hooper too, so it's gonna be nice to see him get back in there.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I saw him, didn't his dad get knocked out by Jake Paul?
Yeah, that did happen.
His dad.
Yeah, he honestly is one of those guys too that maybe could in fact be fighting for his job. I think he lost he's on a one fight losing streak. He lost like a grappling match, but it could be sort of like one of the last fights on his contract and they just say, that's it. Take a loss and you're out.
Mm-hmm.
But in that fight, I haven't officially locked in a pick. I am going to lock in Chase Hooper by submission in the fight.
And I'm thinking the sandwich fight of the night is definitely the first fight, Elise Reed versus
Sam.
Oh,
my God, yes.
That's one fight I don't give a shit about. I know if Sam loses, she's probably out.
Yeah. Dude, that is easily the sandwich of the night. Easy.
Yeah. Reed's on a 3-fight win streak, though. So
because Hughes hadn't won a fight ever, and she won one against our girl Estella Nunez, and that one was fucking boring. Man, she's just not fun to watch. I think if she loses, I don't care. I don't think Dana's gonna care if she won her last fight. Cut it.
Get here's your pink slip. Bye bye.
The fight that's confusing for me that sort of has like low key fight of the night. For a reason, because it's the headline of the prelims, Joseph Holmes and Alan Amadovsky. I'm going to go out and just say that's going to be like the fucking fight of the night that nobody's seen come.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as sandwiches and fights we don't care about, once we get to the main event of the prelims, I think that's a fight to pay attention to because the rankings are unbelievable. It's like 111 against 121, but it's placed on the card in that slot for a reason. So I'm going to pay attention there, and maybe there's a care that comes about.
Yeah, that's true, man. That is fucking
true. The last time
we
saw Holmes, he fought against Jamie Pickett, and Jesus. He looked really good, man. It was a good fight. He took him to a unanimous decision. He lost, unanimous decision to Pickett, but it was an impressive first fight for him. I think he fought like on late notice too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I believe it was. Yeah.
Right on.
The early prelims aren't that exciting, but you never know. This card could be the greatest card in UFC history. You know, like Derek Dally would say, don't sleep on these type of cards. And I don't know.
Yeah, my final rating for this card is going to be a 6, just like the poster.
Yep, same here. I was just going to say, what's our final grade on this? I'm going to say a 6.
That's fair. And then we only can go down.
Yeah. Well, it'll start at 6, and then if the fights start, kicking ass, we'll jump it up a point. But then once we get to the boring-ass fights, then it's just going to dip down to, like, a 5.
And if Pereira ends up winning by a cartwheel kick, it automatically is an 8.
Yeah. Yep.
Right on. Well, guys, let's get
to
our...
Before we get off the subject, Michael Pereira reveals he has a DUI case in Vegas. He's saying it won't affect his UFC 55 co-main event.
Oh, my God.
Oh, really?
What a fucking idiot, bro. See, another reason not to like this guy.
I'm rooting for him just for that alone.
Just for that alone.
If John Jones could get dismissed for all the bullshit he's done for Michelle, let's clear him of that.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true.
But this apparently happened back in January. So,
oh, okay.
Probably New Year's Eve then.
After his Fiala fight.
Oh.
He got drunk after that fight.
Well, there is another card. We can make some quick picks. Actually, on paper, it's more legit than the UFC card. Eagle FC, Redemption FC 47. Junior Dos Santos against friend of the show and fight book, Jorgen De Castro. Main event, starting with you, Rudy Lara. Who do you got, man?
I don't know, man. Who's the main event?
I ain't picking Jorgen. Dos Santos.
Yeah. It's Santos
Jorgen? And Jorgen. Yeah.
Jorgen De Castro fighting Junior Dos Santos, bro. And Junior, bro, he doesn't want to fight. If he loses this fight, that's like six fights that he's lost in a row.
Are you serious?
He looks He looks in great, like old school Dos Santos shape. So
he does all the time. He always looks in good shape. And when it comes to fight night, he gets fucking.
He's a fucking big guy, bro. But yeah, Jorgen is a big guy too, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, man. This one's a tough call for me, man. I love both of these guys.
Well, before we make our picks and all that, let's talk about this fucking badass fight poster.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
This, to me, it's going to be the first time I ever put this number on a fight poster is a 10.
I like how they do they actually put an eagle on every single poster just for that's how you know the king Khabib. Mm-hmm. But this is a shit, you know, so.
This is a legit fight poster.
Yeah, they did a great job here, and they've been doing a good job. So I think they know that the UFC is sucking ass over there, and they want to outdo them in every way they can. So. Especially taking all their fighters, too, because I think they're, in fact, going to be – well, they could possibly be a bigger draw than, like, Bellator nowadays. Like, people don't really – like, who even watched the MVP fight last week? It was a fucking sandwich.
I didn't watch a single fight on
the card. I didn't hear good things on the whole card. Yeah, my cousin told me bad things about the card, so.
Yeah, so I think more eyes are coming to Eagle FC. They're getting the names. They're getting all the guys from the UFC, the names that we know, like the old school fight fans, the new era people. But, yeah, I mean, you just look on this rundown of this card, man. You got the next fight, the co-main event, Hector Lombard, Thiago Silva. We were just talking about Hector Lombard. You know what I mean, so.
Yeah, man, you can watch it live and free on the FlexCast app.
Oh, it's a legit act too. One click, you're good.
Yeah. And they do this in Florida at the Flex Arena, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
You can even watch it clear, like HD quality on the laptop or on your phone on the website. Even if you don't have the app, you can just click on the website and bam, it's clean.
Yeah, and also too, shout out to Cyrus Fees and Ray Flores down there holding down the announcing and the commentating too. They do a great job all around, man. So looking forward to this show. The UFC is good, too. There's some good fights, but definitely this card on paper, in my opinion, I think it will deliver better than the UFC card. But as far as picks, though, Rob, who'd you have, Dos Santos or Jorgen?
Bro, I'm going to go with Jorgen De Castro, bro. I mean, as much as I like Dos Santos, it's just he loses every fight now.
Man.
It's sad to see, you know, it just sucks. It just sucks watching him lose the way he does. So I have a feeling this is going to be another fight where he gets banged up and gets KO'd.
I think the Young Buck's going to come out and do Young Buck things, but don't count out that old veteran Dos Santos. You never know, but I feel like De Castro is going to probably... I don't want to say it, but I got a bad feeling. I got a really bad feeling, guys.
I do too, but I'm still going to pick JDS and just, I don't know, man. Jorgen's a beast too, man. Those leg kicks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, he trains with some great guys. He's been fucking training with John Jones, you know what I mean? So maybe the John Jones hot dog water greatness rubbed off on Jorgen a little bit. And Rudy Lauer. You got
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think Dos Santos has better hands. He's a bigger guy. Jorgen, I don't know, dude. I like them both, but I'm going to have to go with JDS, man.
Could this be a possible draw, Rudy?
No.
No.
I don't think it's possible to have a draw in Eagle FC.
No.
The way the matchmaking is, it's too good, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, there is some other names on here that we're familiar with. Gabe Checo fighting Andrew Dirty Sanchez. He's former UFC. Daryl Horcher, once upon a time in MMA history, Daryl Horcher fought Khabib Nurmagomedov. Fun factoid of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Brony Marks, Reggie Pena, Roosevelt Roberts, another guy who was a prospect in the UFC, fought some killers. He's on this card. Sean Soriano is on this card. And I don't know why they have Sean Bunch buried at the second fight of the night. That guy's pretty impressive and super legit. I thought they would have him on the main card. That's another guy you don't want to miss. Sean Bunch is super legit.
Yeah, it's a good card, man. It's a good card. On paper right now, I'm going to say a 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, 7. Hector Thiago is going to be a good one.
Yeah, and I think throughout the night, once it starts and working its way up, it's probably going to, the number's probably going to start jumping up even higher than that by the end of the night.
That Flex app, though, super legit, a little bit. No glitches whatsoever. I was in the middle of nowhere last time I watched their last event. No problems. Badass. So. But shout out to all them down there. Our people, like I said, Cyrus Fees, Ray Flores, always making it a definite all-around great event. Announcing match. And maybe Henry Cejudo will be there with the 10-inch lift shoes as well. Too, right?
His platforms, yeah.
I forget about that. Or maybe they won't be quite 10 inches, maybe like 4 or 5 inches or something.
Right on. Well, fellas, time has caught up to us. I think that's it for now, right? I mean, we don't have any outside the cage news other than, I don't know.
Dustin Poirier and Colby Covington coming soon.
Hey. That might happen.
Dustin Poirier accepted the Covington fight.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's happening.
Gregor Gillespie gets removed from the rankings. That's another one.
Okay.
Yeah, but he posted on social media that he's not off the UFC roster.
Yeah, he's not off the rankings. Yeah.
And a lot of medias were saying that he got cut from the UFC, and he was like, no, I didn't. I'm just not on the rankings.
And then the Mayweather exhibition event moved to Abu Dhabi.
Oh, May man, 21st. Yeah, they got to generate that Abu Dhabi money.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to check that out, too.
What's it called? Sam Alvey is booked to fight? Isn't he fighting Oleanchik, or what's his name? Michelle Oleanchik. Sam Alvey's got a fight booked.
What? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, Sam, didn't he just recently sign and renewed his fight contract with the UFC?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, he did.
He's booked unlimited. Against Michael Olechek.
That's right.
Olechek, Hadouken.
That's the guy. another quick matchup recently booked, Brad Riddell against Jalen Turner. Man, is that a banger of a fight too, man. Jalen Turner is on the rise, but Brad Riddell, that is a fucking super necessary fight. Like in that division, those are killers on the rise. So
yeah,
and I think that's official for UFC 276. That card just keeps stacking up too.
Yep. Who's they book for Robert Whittaker, Rudy?
The fight, his next fight?
Yeah.
Let me see.
Because I know you commented on the Emmett Glenn's
That's Instagram. Right, Marvin Vittori, bro. They look like they use the pictures of them looking like they're taking constipated. Shit.
Oh, man,
And also, too, the last thing is the UFC officially will be going to Paris.
Find that article at Fightbook MMA. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. And hopefully they get Francis Ngannou to fight on that card. Mm.
That'd be dope. Francis Ngannou in Paris. Who could he possibly be fighting? Starts with a J, ends with the Ohms.
Conor McGregor.
He likes to throw chocolate, hot dog water at people.
Chocolate water?
I was about to say something else.
John Jones hot dog flavored water.
Yeah, I was about to say that accidentally, so I had to stop myself.
Well, guys, awesome show tonight. We killed it. Awesome guest. Thanks to Joey Angelo for jumping on the show and having a good conversation with him. It's always fun to have these guys jump on after their whatever it is that they're doing and just, giving us a chance to be able to talk to them. So shout outs to Joey. Thank you so much. Thanks to everybody that's watching and or listening. We really do appreciate the support. Please go to fightbookmma.com and click the merch tab. Buy some stuff. That money, like I said, it does not go back into our pockets. It goes straight to the website, straight to the podcast, and straight to the fighters that we can sponsor and support. So please show your support. And if you do buy any of our merch, take a picture, DM it to me, and I'll post it on our social media of all the fans that have supported us throughout the years. So please go. Go to Fight Book.
Do it.
Yeah.
David.
Do it.
David, you know what to do, man.
Yes, indeed. Back in full force, the four horsemen of the show, sitting ringside episode 132, keeping the momentum flowing in 2022. So always a good show. Every Thursday night, you can catch us right here. And all our past episodes, you can actually listen to an audio version on any podcast platform, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Hit us up, like, subscribe, share, show us some love, hate, let us know how we're doing. For myself, Dave Rodriguez, Robert El Jefe, Rudy Lara, producer at hand, Mark Ambell Miller, from New Mexico to Texas to Louisiana, back up to Canada, we are sitting ringside, episode 132. We out. Enjoy the fights.
Have a good night.
Yeah, for sure. Y'all enjoy your night.
See ya. Later.